La ligne droite est plus courte que la première, il est un peu loin.
DRS ouvert, l'accélération vers Ascari, ce sera pas avant Ascari, ça ne peut qu'être après la chicane d'Ascari. Il faut encore tenir, allez Pierre, il faut tenir jusque dans les derniers instants. Il reste la parabolique tout au bout là-bas, elle est loin, elle est infiniment loin cette parabolique. Écarte-toi, ne le laisse pas t'aspirer. Il se met à l'intérieur, il fait de la récupération d'énergie pour essayer de sortir de la parabolique. Elle est presque là, cette victoire. Accélère, accélère. Oui, il va aller la chercher. Ne lâche pas. La victoire de Pierre Gasly. Il l'a fait. Victoire de Pierre Gasly. Victoire d'AlphaTauri. La victoire française. 24 ans, 3 mois et 18 jours après Olivier Panis. La France, de nouveau victorieuse en Formule 1, il l'a fait, Pierre Gasly, exceptionnel, victoire historique, Pierre Gasly, vainqueur du Grand Prix d'Italie. Ah, il y a de la déception, bien sûr, chez McLaren. Écoutez ces noms: Trintignant, Sever, Beltoise, Lafitte, Depailler, Jabouille, Arnoux, Pironi, Prost, Tambay, allez-y, Panis, et aujourd'hui, Pierre Gasly, vainqueur d'un Grand Prix de Formule 1. Oui, monsieur, oui, madame.
There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula 1. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. This moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 849, September 7th, 2020. Nasser.
Grazie, senor. Pista Magica delivers another memorable moment for the spirit of Minardi. Now back to Il Leone of podcasting.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, La France celebrates the Gasly victory. First one for France since 1996. Monaco. Christian Horner may not give Monsieur Gasly his seat back, because he's vindictive and bitter inside. Don't forget, McLaren is Renault-powered, so we had a lot of France on that podium. And we've got more from Gary Sloan in thepitlane.com. And just a reminder, we need your contributions to keep this program on the air. Just click on the Support F1 Weekly tab. You know, you want to. Nask, welcome to the studio. We finally have something exciting to talk about.
Absolutely, sir. What a Grand Prix. What a race. But what we have here, Mr. Rogers, is a failure to communicate to the race leader that pit lane is closed. And I say thank you, Lewis Hamilton and Mercedes AMG F1 team, for providing such a thrilling race. Always a very happy moment to see a new F1 winner under intense pressure. Pierre Gasly is Sunday's cool hand Luke. And for me, sir, this race at my all-time favorite track is the defining moment of the 2020 season. Lewis will grab many more records, but Gasman is the big explosion of the year. You know, Clark, they talk about 5-hour energy pill. I am so excited. This race is what I call a 52-week pill. What say you?
Oh, man, it's so exciting. One small mistake, or let's say a big mistake by Mercedes, when Hamilton pitted, when the pits were closed, changed the entire molecular structure of Formula One. Instead of having that boring race and listening to Bottas whimpering and crying about a puncture that didn't exist, and, I mean, Lewis Hamilton, I think, had a 4-second lead so quickly, this looked like a processional race that we were going to be bored to tears with. I thought, well, I'll get my dusting done this morning. And then, sacré bleu, that happened. And of course, the Ferraris imploding added to it a little bit for sure, especially with Leclerc bringing in the red flag, which I did not expect. I have to admit, that was the sabot that got thrown into the cogs of F1.
And you know, shortly after the race, I was already hyper and super excited. On Facebook, I saw a link to this commentary that you played at the beginning of the show, commentary from Canal Plus by Monsieur Julien Fabreau. This is one for the ages. And you know, Clark, when he started to name all the French F1 winners, names like Sauvaire, Beltoise, Depailler, Pironi, Tombé, I mean, that was industrial strength frisson for me. This piece of passionate work is on par with, if you've ever heard Ben Edwards' commentary on the final lap of the Michigan 500 in 2000, when Monty battled Michael Andretti to the finish line, and of course, our all-time favorite Dijon Prenois 1979. Stuff like this cannot be scripted. It's got to be from the heart. And I'm absolutely, absolutely excited.
Yes. No, we were given something that we deserved because of this domination by Mercedes, which is what Mercedes does. I mean, they've always gone into motor racing to completely dominate. They did that in the 30s. They did that in the 50s. And they're doing it now. I understand their thinking, but we needed this breath of fresh air. And it was so exciting to see a really young podium. And it was truly joy. I mean, I know Ferrari was a complete disaster at Monza, but if we had spectators, it would have been really, really fantastic.
Well, it was good for Ferrari. There were no spectators. And I heard somewhere that this podium was the youngest ever in Formula One. I didn't get a chance to verify that, but most likely it is. But the man who gave his heart and soul in Colli, which was again a very impressive performance, did not win the race. Shall we do a quick review of Colli now?
Absolutely. You know I love Colli.
Well, there was no Amore for Monza Magic Man of 2008. Sebastian Vettel out in Q1, while teammate had laid but smooth sailing to Q2. First time at Monza since 1984 that both Ferraris were not in top 10 of the grid. The blues get deeper and deeper for the reds. Kimi was not cool with Ocon. I don't know if you saw this. I have to say Ocon was driving and moving like it was final lap of a Grand Prix, not Q1. Any comments on that?
I thought it was bizarre, I have to admit. Ocon perhaps was spacing out. Now, don't get me wrong. I know Monza can have traffic problems and everybody trying to slipstream somebody else could be a problem and they're all banging for position. But Ocon was problematic and then he caused the rules to change. They wanted a minimum speed, which also caused more problems. So hopefully Ocon will get spoken to by Gasly. And maybe they'll fix this francophilic problem.
I think he'll get a good lesson from his teammate who's coming to next year.
El machismo de España?
Sí, señor. And Charles Leclerc got knocked out in Q3. I'm sorry, Q2, so no Ferrari in Q3. And in Q3, row 2 was impressive. I mean, this was exciting, row 2. Carlos Sainz Jr. and Sergio Perez. Now, pole at just over 164 miles per hour for your favorite driver, Lewis Carl Hamilton. This is the fastest lap ever in Formula One history and number 94 of his career. You know, in the telecast, Sky Sport telecast, they mentioned Lewis's number of pole positions with Mercedes. I forgot to note that down. But I think just with the Mercedes, he has like 68 pole positions, 68 or 69. So this guy is on a serious hot roll. Teammate Bottas did his best, but he was numero uno. He was numero uno in Q2, but had to face reality in Q3. Max completed the top 5, almost a second slower than Lewis. So much for Ben on party mode, and Bottas said it best, not sure how happy Red Bull is now with F1 engine party mode. Party mode Ben, and even Ricciardo made a comment to this effect. So in 8 races, Mr. Rogers, 6 poles for LCH and 7 front row lockout for Silver Star from Stuttgart, though they are based in Brackley in UK. The second race in Austria, the Styrian Grand Prix, was the only exception where Max got on the front row with LCH. Any other comments on the Colli before we move on to the Gran Premio di Italia?
Just a few, you know, Bottas, I think it's finally sinking in that the number 2 moniker is now permanently tattooed on his forehead. And I feel terrible about it. But once again, I must say he's getting a great paycheck. He'll have a great career. He'll get more wins in the future. And being number 2 is not a bad thing at the best Formula One team on the grid.
No, of course not, because you get to win races. You're treated very well. Everything at Mercedes-Benz is like at Penske Racing, first class. And I'm sure they're paying him millions and millions of dollars. But, you know, really cannot blame this guy or any poor soul who happens to be teammate to Max Verstappen. It's just, like you said, you know, tattoo on your forehead or on your butt. It's the same thing. You are number 2, and that's where machismo of the team will keep you there. It's sad, but, you know, unfortunately very true. Did you like the start of the race? Tell me, what did you think after the start of the race? Did you think anybody had a chance?
Well, no. I thought for sure Lewis Hamilton had this wrapped up. I was just stunned by the fumbling by Bottas again. I mean, they got the tape over the flickering light, so he's not distracted by the flickering light. But there's just something with Bottas. He's always got some Brembo or Carbon Industries issue. And I know it must be frustrating for him, but it just shows how much more dominant and in control LCH is. I was really floored. And Max Verstappen, really, he had some issues in this Grand Prix as well. I have to give it to McLaren. McLaren with the Renault package from Viry Châtillon is doing a fantastic job. I'm certain that once they switch engines over for 2021, they will hopefully continue this progress. The biggest thing is I was so happy for Sainz Jr. because I know next year Sainz is going to have to endure the problem with the Ferrari. So enjoy your McLaren drive now. I think there could be a couple more podiums for Sainz Jr. Just love every minute of it, because once you're at Ferrari, it could be a couple of years for sure.
Yes, and like you said, I expected Lewis Hamilton to do what he was doing, and he started pulling away from the maddening crowd as soon as the lights went out. But, you know, this was shocking. Only took 6 laps for Brembo Cablamo to ruin Sebastian's day, his first ever retirement from the Italian Grand Prix. And this situation is getting worse and worse race by race. So that's a pretty sad scene. On lap 10, Lewis had a 5-second lead over second place hombre Carlos Sainz Jr. And you know, at this stage, I thought this was going to be a walk in the park or Monza for Lewis, because, you know, we don't have to mechanical breakdowns these days, especially for Mercedes. So I figured, you know, Carlos or somebody will come through and finish in the top 3. And of course, even more importantly for LCH, there was no threat from Bottas and Verstappen, who were running 6th and 7th respectively. But I have to say, I know Bottas had an imaginary puncture and some other issues, but I don't think he just ran out of talent. And same with Verstappen. They must have some issues, which I think in the coming days we may find out what the real excuses are. But I don't think they just looked completely off, both of them. On lap 20 of 53, both were still not in the top 5, which was very surprising, especially for Bottas. But the face and pace of this race changed upside down for LCH. Kevin Magnussen stopped just before the pit lane entrance. They could have easily pushed his car back through an opening, but they decided to push the car into the pits. Now, I was very surprised because, you know, Kevin pulled over and there was an opening right there behind him. I have no idea why they did not push him back. Your take on that, Senor?
Well, they're in Italy. So you're thinking what a German would do. Efficiency, quickness, right there's the opening. You push it back and they're done with. But to see a few guys, hey, they get to push the car up into the pits. It slows things down. They're not thinking about Lewis Hamilton pitting or anybody else. They're just thinking, hey, we'll get the car in the pits. That way they get their car back quickly. And we get to walk around and stretch our legs a little bit. I can dig it, my brother.
Yes, sir. And K-Mag stopped and then he was taking a ride. Yeah, maybe you're right because he was enjoying the ride also when they were pushing the car to the pits. And this, you know, the pit lane closed light was on, but which was on the outside of the track. But apparently the signal was also, or a message was sent out to all the teams. I am now reading that Lewis got the message that pit lane is closed like 4 seconds too late. So the only thing I can say, did somebody say Montreal 2008? What was interesting, his teammate, people who were managing his race, they were able to, you know, figure out that you cannot come into the pits. So when that happened, you know, even the commentators were saying that they were not sure what the penalty would be. In racing, if you reverse in the pit lane, it's automatic disqualification. And I was thinking that maybe they will do the same thing, because coming into a pit lane against a red light, running a red light is pretty serious infraction in racing. So I was thinking maybe they will disqualify these two guys. But it was pretty obvious, you know, the law was going to come down. And then I said, you know what, we may have a first-time winner here. And then when penalty was dished out, only 10 seconds, but that includes time coming in, going out, it's almost a 30-second loss of time. And Monza is a fast track, so that's majority of the lap right there. So he had a bad taste in the mouth. What I found very interesting was he even hopped on a scooter to have a word with stewards. Normally, this kind of things are done through the proper channel, the team manager or, you know, somebody from the team, not the driver, marching into the steward's room. Your take on that, Senor?
Well, I thought that was very interesting that he went directly to the stewards. Because let's face it, when you're a record holder, when you're going to be one of the greatest Formula One drivers in history, that carries what we call clout. It's sort of like E.F. Hutton. So I think that he thought maybe with his clout, he could say, hey, I can't see the sign that says the pits are closed, which wouldn't convince anybody because he's been at Monza so many times. But in the end, I like that he goes up and tries to show everybody that he still has testicular fortitude.
But he was civil in his approach and everything worked out. And after the race, he did say, you know, he made a mistake or whether he makes a mistake or team, it's pretty much the same thing. Damage is done. With over 30 laps remaining, we were in for one of two things because this man has a very fast car and he is very quick, as we all know. So I thought either we're going to have a massive fight back from the back for LCH because there were still quite a few laps remaining. Or there's going to be a maiden win, which looked more likely for Lance Stroll, Pierre Gasly, Sainz Jr. I'm a big Lando Norris fan, so I thought maybe he'll come through. And then, you know, the red flag came as Mr. Leclerc crashed heavily, which really made Ferrari's day. And first there were reports that he may have some same problem, Brembo problem, as his teammate, but then it was clarified and confirmed by the driver himself. I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Do you think we're going to see any improvement by Ferrari in remaining races?
No, none whatsoever. I think they're going to tone it down. They know that everybody knows, and they're going to go into save Ferrari mode. They've already spoken about how it's going to take years to turn this around. And now it's just about celebrating the 1,000th Grand Prix in Mugello. Luckily for them, Lewis Hamilton will not break the record there because of what happened at Monza, but it's still going to be a great celebration. They're already talking about the traditional livery that they'll have on the car. So, you know, Ferrari still has plenty, to celebrate. And, you know, they still make great road cars. So the Tifosi will have to suffer a little bit, and they'll have to talk to the Pope a little bit. And we're going to have a great race in Mugello. But what I found interesting is when you win every weekend, even a team like Mercedes and a great driver like LCH, you get complacent. I mean, I'm sure LCH had this in the bag. He sees Magnussen on the side, the yellow flag, perfect time to pit. I mean, you couldn't ask for a better scenario. He thought that the gods were gifting him again with fresh tires so he could finish this race and get another Schumacher record. And it's easy to not look at the signs that say the pits are closed because you're already thinking about that wonderful remodel at your apartment in Monaco. You're thinking about what you're going to have for lunch because the Grand Prix is so easy to win. You start wandering.
I'm surprised you didn't say anything about hanging out in Hollywood with his cronies.
I didn't. I'm trying to cut back on the, yes, the typical Compton slings and arrows.
There you go. Okay, you touched a lot of things. As far as the livery is concerned, I read that they're going to go the traditional Ferrari red that was in 1950. So that will be interesting. What I was thinking, you know, if they run the car without any sponsorship logo, just like the car was in the 50, blood red, I mean, that will look very, very good. And, you know, Ferrari owns the Mugello track. And I've been to this track. It's a very nice track. And they look, the drive to the track is from Florence is absolutely gorgeous. And as far as Michael Schumacher's records are concerned, it's amazing how things work out. If he wins Mugello, then he has a chance of beating Michael Schumacher's record or matching it in Germany, which is Mercedes' home race. So one way or the other, he's going to get that 91 wins and more this year. So we'll see how it works out. But going back to the race on Sunday, the second standing start of the day saw Lewis again jumped into the lead. You know, you have to take your penalty within three laps. I thought he will go the full two laps plus the third lap and then come in. But I was surprised he came in after the very first lap. And then as soon as he came in, it was open season for a first-time winner. Contenders were Gasly, Stroll, Sainz and Norris. Hard to believe no Bottas, no Max, no Albon, the usual suspects. Now, when Lewis went into the pits, who do you think was going to win the race?
I had no idea. Once that was over and with Max out of the picture and Bottas out of the picture, I honestly had no idea. But in retrospect, I have to think about what Gasly was commenting in FP2, FP3, and the kind of pace he was getting out of the AlphaTauri was even surprising him. So sometimes, and it happens to Ricciardo with Renault, all of a sudden, everything clicks from setup to comfort to your seat to your brain, and everything goes perfect. And Gasly was having that kind of weekend. He was fast, he was quick, and he was making Albon nervous, I guarantee it. And this was a very interesting Grand Prix, simply because I want to see where the dominoes fall at AlphaTauri and Red Bull in the next few races.
Yes, I'll comment on that in a minute. But, you know, Lance Stroll was second on the grid. I really thought that he has the best opportunity. But like you said, Gasly was quick and Sainz was also in the picture. And Lewis was rapid and charging to salvage some points. Much of his headache was cured, what you just mentioned, when Max dropped out due to power issues with his Honda. And Bottas was having a Bottas day. But it's easy to bash on Bottas. But let's find out in the next few days what comes out, that maybe there was some issue or something. The very exciting final laps were what you wish, both as a racing driver and racing fan. A win where everybody is happy, just like Monza 2008. It's amazing how much you enjoy when the result is in play till the checkered flag. We are so used to knowing the winner after Q3 on Saturday. And you know, this was Honda's 50th race with Toro Rosso / AlphaTauri. So this is a very, very important win for him. And you know, this is one of those race wins where it can change this man's career. Dr. Marco has already come out saying that there will be no change of seats at Red Bull. But you know, day after tomorrow, he can say something else. I mean, he's on the same program as Lewis. He can do anything. He can say anything he wants. But you know, now that he has proven himself a race winner, a worthy race winner, and you know what was very impressive? He led for many, many laps. This was not winning the, remember that comment, welcome to the world of winning. I don't want to point out who the driver was, but we all know who we are talking about. It was the 2008 Hungarian Grand Prix. Gasly led the race for many laps, and right behind him was several cars. So it was very impressive that he did not make a, you know, in racing, you make a half a second mistake, you're going to lose. So that was very, very impressive. And I'll tell you what I'm thinking. When you said about what the dominoes will fall, I can see one of the domino already falling, and that is Yuki Tsunoda replacing Daniel Kvyat. All this kid has to do in his rookie season is finish fourth in the Formula 2 championship. Because if he does not finish, my understanding is he will not get a super license. And he is very quick, very impressive, and he is in his rookie season. So I will not be surprised if he gets one of the seats at AlphaTauri at the end of the season. Now, Pierre Gasly, if they keep him at AlphaTauri, it will not be bad for him. My suggestion to him would be not to do a Captain Antonil. Do that to me one more time. Do that to me one more time. Because if he goes back to Red Bull, I am pretty sure that Max will do it to him again. And I think right now, the only two drivers who can basically run with, or three I should say, with Max would be, not in any order, but Lewis, Daniel Ricciardo, and Charles Leclerc. I don't think Pierre Gasly or Albon or Sergio Perez will go and rattle his cage. But time will tell how this thing works out. And obviously, you know, Gasly was very emotional. Like you said, first French Grand Prix winner since 1996 when Olivier Panis won in Ligier. And that was also Honda Power, Mugen actually. And that was the year Gasly was born. So karma here. And this is what the race winner had to say. And he is the, I believe, the 109th Grand Prix winner. He said this, and I quote, "Honestly, it's unbelievable. I'm not sure I'm realizing what's happening right now. It was such a crazy race. We capitalized on the red flag. The car was fast. We had a pretty fast car behind us. In the last five laps, I almost shunted 10 times. I wanted the win so bad." End of quote. So he must have been totally TF, phrase you use all the time in trying to get this win. So I'm very happy for him. And being a fellow Francais, how excited were you, Mr. Rogers?
I was totally blown away. I mean, I was not only excited, but then, you know, I was sort of rooting for Sainz Jr. too, to not make a mistake. Don't try to pass him. I started picturing Lewis Hamilton and Albon, and one of them spinning. I'm going, oh my goodness. And I liked what the team said to Sainz Jr. Keep it clinical. Don't make any mistakes. Get on the podium. Do not screw this up. Because I have to admit, the McLaren was fast too. And I think if he had one more lap, he would have done a late break on Gasly and made the pass. Would have it stuck? I'm not sure. But everybody kept their cool. That's what was so great about this new young podium, is none of them made stupid mistakes.
I thought that with the on the final lap or the lap before that, maybe with the DRS, he will be able to get ahead. And I agree with you, and even Carlos Sainz was moaning on the team radio on the cool down lap or after the race, that another lap and he could have become Spain's second Grand Prix winner. He had a great opportunity as he was only a second or so behind Gasly, and there were many laps to go in which to do the business. But in the end, it was close, but no in-flight burrito for Carlito. Some are questioning why leave a team on the rise for a team drowning in their own red blood. And like you said, with the Mercedes power, I expect McLaren to win a race. I will be shocked if they don't win a race next year, especially with the smiling assassin on the team. That guy is a kind of talent that will find a way to win a race. So things are looking very good for McLaren. I'm happy for the team. And I'm also very happy to see, a team headed by Mr. Zach Brown do so well. Because Zach, you know, I think he has done a very good job under very, very difficult circumstances. What say you, Senor?
Well, you're absolutely right. And I think Ferrari needs to look at McLaren and how McLaren were down and out. They sucked. And they've slowly crawled their way back to fight for podiums and maybe wins next year. So I think that should give Ferrari hope, of course, because Ferrari's been around for a long time. They've had slumps before. We'll see Ferrari bounce back. The biggest problem is it could be at Carlito's expense, which is another sad situation. We want some of these young drivers to become world champions. And I'm always worried about a young driver with potential not having good karma.
Yes, and Ricciardo must be saying, you know, I'm glad I did not go to Ferrari.
Oh, I think he's seeing that every day. I mean, it's a tough call. Not only that, but, you know, with Ricciardo going to McLaren, he must be so happy that he's going to be taking another step towards wins and hopefully a championship soon. Everybody, I think some, you know, the Hulkenberg syndrome is frightening to a lot of people.
That is very true. You got to be in the right car at the right time. Okay, sir, next we move on to Lance Stroll for the second start from the front row. I really thought he was in the best position to take a stab at the race win, Mercedes power and a Mercedes lookalike, but he did a Bottas at the restart and lost places and momentum. He said after the race, victory was mine to lose, and lose he did. On a positive note, he is fourth in the championship, which is very, very impressive, I must say. Lando Norris, two McLarens in the top four, is a great result for the team. Lando was not moping after the race in not getting on the podium, saying they did the best they could under the circumstances. I very much hope next season, with the Mercedes power, they can get their first win. I believe it's been since almost 8 years or something like that they have not won a race. So we would like to see a McLaren get a victory. And, you know, I'll tell you, Mr. Rogers, two of the expectations I had. You mentioned Ocon earlier. For me, I was expecting a lot more from Lando Norris and Esteban Ocon simply because of based on their career and performances in the junior formula. And Lando is in his second year, and he's normally ahead of Carlos Sainz in the qualifying area, but he's not really rattling Carlos Sainz's cage. And as far as Esteban Ocon is concerned, he is pretty much under Ricciardo's thumb. You know what I'm saying? So who knows, maybe if you cannot rattle the cage of Ricciardo, I mean, you can imagine how the atmosphere will be when Fernando Alonso walks into the Renault team. It's going to be over for Ocon, I think. So who knows, maybe Renault will have Gasly in their seat in the next few years. What say you?
I totally agree. Ocon, I don't even think understands what's going to happen. When 2021 begins, he goes to Renault, the team office, and all he sees is pictures of Fernando everywhere. Because, you know, Renault and Fernando is a big love affair. And I'm just telling you, Ocon's going to realize that he's going to look down and he's going to see the tattoo artist preparing the number two to be tattooed on the bootay.
Do you remember when Michael Schumacher came back to Mercedes with Nico Rosberg and he even took his number three?
Oh, yes.
It's going to be that kind of an environment.
It will be. It's going to be a tough environment, and it'll make or break them, period.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, our friend Mr. Bottas was fifth and under siege right after the start of the race. He thought he had a puncture, only to be told all is well with the car. Best part for him was he was able to jump ahead of Max in the championship standings. Because, man, if he finishes behind Max in the championship standings as a Mercedes driver, that will be very, very sad. Still, I think we have like 8 races to go, I believe, Mr. Rogers. 8 or 9 races. And championship is still open, but it will take a couple of non-scoring screw-ups by his teammate for Bottas to have any realistic chance at the championship. He did suffer from overheating. Maybe that was what the issue was. And your boy, Lewis, is a lucky boy. Lost only, I think, 3 points to Bottas, and Max DNF prompted Dr. Marco to say, he said this about Max, it's better not to be near him, his championship is over. And talking of championship, Lewis leads with 164 points over Bottas on 117. Max is third with 110. Joined fourth are Norris and Stroll with 57 points each. And count back, Stroll is ahead. And in the championship, Constructors' Championship, this is interesting. Mercedes 281, Red Bull second on 158, and next third is McLaren 98. And Williams remain the only team with no points. So, in the final analysis, this race and the commentary from Canal Plus is now embedded in my motorsports memory bank at the very top. Like with the opening lap of Donington 1993, Schumacher's debut in Collier at Spa, teenager winning in Barcelona a few years ago, and most of all Mansell's pass on the outside of Berger in Mexico City. These are moments your eyes are watching, but mind is having a hard time in believing reality. Incredible, simply incredible. What say you, amigo?
Well, it was exciting. I was so happy. And it's great to have a race like this because then we actually look forward to doing the podcast. We're pumped up. You know, it's not the same old, Lewis Hamilton won again and again and again. I mean, obviously, Mercedes is still going to dominate. They made a mistake. And some young small teams capitalized on it, and it's always great to see a minority win, even though they're AlphaTauri, of course. And an Italian team to win at Monza was superb.
Yeah, you know, interestingly, when Sebastian Vettel won with Minardi in 2008, Lewis Hamilton was 7th, and Sunday Pierre Gasly wins in same team, basically. Lewis Hamilton was again 7th. So there is some karma when he, you know, he's not doing well. But fantastic race. Really, really enjoyed this thing. And I just hope, obviously we cannot have every race like this. But if we can have another race or two like this or a very sudden downpour that mixes the, shuffles the grid or the finishing position, that it will be good. Now, talking of Ferrari, Signor Mattia Binotto is the beast of burden at Scuderia. He has revealed that he offered to resign as the principal of Ferrari team. After the Belgian Grand Prix, he got a call from Ferrari chairman John Elkann. Binotto has seen glory days with a German driver back in the day, but the way things are going these days, I think it's only a matter of time before heads are rolling in Maranello, and the Ferrari chairman said, Mr. Louis Camilleri, that they want to stop the culture of revolving door, but something has to give. According to ex-team principal Luca di Montezemolo, the biggest mistake made by Ferrari was letting James Allison go. He is now at Mercedes. And, you know, another thing Luca said, which may be true, is hurting Ferrari. He said, you know, unlike Germany here in Italy, we don't have a culture of hybrid technology, so they are now trying to catch up. So we wish them well. Obviously, it's the most experienced team, magical name in motor racing, so I am sure most fans, myself included for sure, would like to see them come back to winning ways. Now, sir, I'm surprised you have not mentioned this. Istanbul was Constantinople, and looking ahead to 2021, Renault will be Alpine. Are you happy on that brand change?
No. And don't get me wrong, Alpine A110, one of my favorite cars of all time. Alpine is a great mark. It's famous for Le Mans. It's a sports car. They win sports car races. I just don't understand why they want to confuse Alpine with Formula One. They've always been separate. And I mean, I know marketing and everything else, and the colors are going to be great. They're going to shift from yellow and black, the traditional Formula One Renault colors from the teapot days, and they're going to go with the bleu, blanc et rouge. And I saw the artwork, the car, the livery looks fantastic. I love Alpine. I like saying Alpine. I just think it's a little odd, but they do have a new CEO at Renault, another Luca, and we'll see what happens. I mean, the car will look good, and we'll get used to it like we get used to everything else. As long as Fernando likes it, everything will be okay.
Yes, sir, the cars may be mild or French racing blue, and guess who's coming to dinner for pre-season testing at Renault? And some escargot, the hombre is looking for that elusive third championship, while the English machismo is looking for easy-to-reach championship number 8. The new Renault CEO, according to reports, Signor Luca Di Meo, is a motorsports fan and has high hopes for the Alpine/Alpine brand, which is the performance division of Renault. I actually like this. The only question I have, right now apparently they only have one model, the A110. So I don't know how many cars they are selling, but it's a nice idea to promote a sporting brand through Formula One like Aston Martin. And so we'll see how that goes. But it'll be nice to see French Racing Blue back. I'm excited about that. And sir, some points to ponder. Some of these we've already discussed, so I won't repeat. Now, had Lewis won this race, his 90th win would have come at the same track as the man who also won his 90th Grand Prix there, Michael Schumacher. And then we also mentioned about 7th on both occasions. This is interesting. This was 71st Italian Grand Prix. Monza has hosted 70 of them. The only exception was Imola in 1980, which I believe was won by Nelson Piquet. Oh, this is, you know, slings and arrows, but what do you expect? Karma comes full circle. McLaren with a Spanish driver finishes a close second to a car powered by a GP2 engine. And the question is, who's screaming now? What say you, Mr. Rogers?
Well. Let's go talk to Max Verstappen. We saw how he got out of his Honda-powered Red Bull. Not a happy camper. He kept it all inside, went in, and didn't talk to anybody, which was the right thing to do. But I'm telling you, there will be an explosion. If we remember Josh the Boss exploding with emotions everywhere when things went wrong in Formula One, let's face it, the Verstappens have a temper. It will come out. He might not say GP2 engine, but something's going to happen in the future unless he wins a championship. So I'll keep that there. Now, on the other hand, since we're getting close to Motorsports Mondial, let's hear from Gary Sloan.
Hello, listeners. My name's Gary Sloan, and this is this week's edition of In the Pit Lane. So after a long wait, Ferrari owned Circuit Mugello will eventually host a Formula One race, the Grand Prix of Tuscany. So for Ferrari to celebrate their 1,000th race in Formula One at their own track is a marketing and PR dream, or well, it was until the season descended into chaos. When the race was initially announced, Palio Poli, the chief executive of the circuit, commented, "We are happy and proud to have finally achieved a goal that we've been chasing for a long time with the utmost determination." Ferrari boss Benetti added, "To be able to celebrate an extraordinary anniversary like the 1,000th Grand Prix for Ferrari at our own home at Mugello is an incredible opportunity. It's a wonderful feeling, and I can't wait for the dream to come true on September the 13th. Well, the dream has turned into a nightmare. Benotti, speaking at Monza over the weekend, declared, "We must absolutely not give up, and we will be giving all our next weekend at Mugello, which is a special event for us, being our 1,000th Formula One Grand Prix." To add salt to the wound, the upcoming race is the first in the 2020 season to have fans in attendance. Before the team's woeful performance, Ferrari should have been getting out the checkbook to host the thousandth race. But well, in an act of Scrooge-like behaviour, Ferrari went cap in hand to both the region of Tuscany and the city of Florence for financial support. The circuit is located in Tuscany, just 35 kilometres from Florence, which is visited by millions of people from all over the globe. Astonishingly, Ferrari deems it acceptable to place a financial strain on the region and the city of Florence. Given the economic pressures created by the pandemic, the money no doubt could have been put to better use. Why did Ferrari not follow Red Bull, who were delighted with the kudos of holding the first two races of the season at the Red Bull Ring? By all accounts, Red Bull did get out the checkbook, and they've always recognised the circuit as a marketing tool. Ferrari could showcase the circuit that's a front runner in standards of safety and sustainability, not to mention the most important aspect, it's a great racetrack. Ferrari are in good shape financially, although their revenues have been hit hard during the pandemic. But in Ferrari's own words, orders are very strong. Chief Executive Luis Camari told analysts recently, "Things are slightly delayed, but the plan remains intact. Next year we have some exciting models that will be presented. Ferrari have suffered a $48 million shortfall in sponsorship, commercial and brand revenue from Formula One. But, again, Camari was upbeat. In terms of next year, it should be better, because hopefully by next year we'll be back to a full race schedule and we will get the necessary revenues in terms of sponsorship and from the commercial rights. So Ferrari should have taken a financial hit and enjoyed the spectacle, leaving the region and Florence to join the party and celebrate at no cost to their hard-pressed citizens." Well, that's it for another week. More details at inthepitlane.com. Till next week, stay safe, stay well.
Gary, once again, keep up the good work. Now we're going to take a quick break, hear some messages, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
Bonjour. Want to stay in a charming accommodation near the historic and famous Cognac and Bordeaux regions of southwestern France? Imagine yourself surrounded by the rolling hills and vineyards of the Charon region, sipping on cognac or the local aperitif Pinot de Charon. Opening in June 2012, Bassinon offers traditional French country lodging in rustic stone cottages, fully equipped with modern comforts, suitable for families, travelers, or groups. Share a home-cooked meal with your host and soak in the ambiance and joie de vivre of the tranquil and rural French countryside. Bassinon is only a 90-minute drive from the Bordeaux airport or 30 minutes from the nearest train station in Angoulême. Navigate to bassinon.com for information or to book a reservation now. That's BASSINAUD.com. Allons-y!
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the guru, the Sultan himself, Nasser Hamid.
Thank you, sir. And we shall start with the feeder series to Formula 1, Formula 2. Callum Ilott on pole for feature race. Mick Schumacher crashed out in final minutes of quali, but made a great start to jump into second quickly and then took the lead and victory after Ilott stalled in the pits. First feature race win for Mini Schumacher, also known as Cotto Schumacher. He just might pull out another come-from-behind championship like he did in Formula 3. And that will be very, very impressive because few races ago, he was nowhere near the championship top of the table. Sunday's sprint race was won by Dan Ticktum, but he was disqualified for not having enough fuel to provide a sample for testing, and his team Dams hit back by saying organizers failed to fix leaking fuel tank in his car, and apparently some other teams are also having this issue. This promoted Ilott to race winner and Mick Schumacher to third. Schumacher is now within striking distance of championship leader, only six behind Ilott on 149. So both Mick Schumacher has been on the podium in many races this year, so he's doing very well now. And after winning a race, you get more machismo-ness in you. And Callum Ilott has been the standout driver, so most likely the championship will come out between these two. And Robert Schwartzman, who is Mick's teammate at Prema, is also in the picture, and he was the leader of the championship for quite a few races. So let's see what happens. Formula 3, Kiwi Liam Lawson qualified fourth but started from pole after FIA handed out penalties to naughty boys. Complete disaster for championship leader Logan Sargeant from Florida. He was spun around and finished way out of the points. 17-year-old rookie and your fellow Francais Theo Pourchaire was looking good for victory number 3 of the season. He is really a standout this year. But few laps from the end, he was passed by Frederik Westey of Denmark. Aussie mate Piastri put in an Oscar performance to finish third after starting 15th and also grabbed the championship lead. Sunday's race 2 was won by English driver Jake Hughes. Championship now is basically between Australian Oscar Piastri, who leads with 160 points, and Logan Sargeant from FLA in USA on 152. Both were DNF on Sunday. Red Bull Junior Liam Lawson is third with 135 points. And Liam Lawson, I think, is going to be, he has what it takes to be a big superstar. And let's see how it works out. This was interesting. Now we come to who's talking. Christian Horner told ESPN that it's obvious the Mercedes team is built around one driver, Lewis Hamilton. He questioned why the team did not put Bottas on a two-stop strategy at Spa. So the question is now, what do other people with names like Weber, Kvyat, Gasly and Albon think about what Mr. Horner told the Total Sports Network? And what does Mr. Roger think about this? Do you feel in any shape or form whatsoever that Mercedes-AMG only wants to see LCH?
No. I mean, I think, to be honest with you, everybody always pretends that there's no number two. And Toto always says they're both free to race, except for when Bottas is asking for a little more power. And the team says, well, we can't give you more power to pass your teammate, who's LCH. So there are little clues that shed a lot of light on this. But let's face it, Red Bull does the same thing. Ferrari does the same thing. All top teams have a number one. If you don't believe they have our number one, I don't know what you've been watching. Now, don't get me wrong. 2007, Ron Dennis and McLaren insisted that there was no number one. But deep down in the bowels of Mr. Dennis, there was a number one. But it was covered up and you couldn't see it. But trust me, it was there. That's just my editorial for the evening.
Yes, and interestingly, Dr. Marco revealed to Sky Germany at Monza that last year Lewis Hamilton called us several times suggesting to put Albon in the car. So pretty interesting. So like you said earlier, Mr. Lewis Hamilton can do and say anything because he has clout. Okay, so now we come to motorsports mantra. Very important. Walk in Parco Monza for Williams family. It is definitely very sad to see Frank Williams leave the team he worked so hard for. But all good things must come to an end, and the writing was on the wall for a few seasons. I still feel there were missed opportunities that if Frank and Patrick were not so strong-headed, things may have been different, especially in their partnership with BMW, which was cut short. The departure of Frank and his deputy principal, Claire, soon after the sold sign was posted in Grove, surprised me. There is a new sheriff in town, Matthew Savage, chairman of Darlington Capital. Also on the board of directors is a chap named James Matthews, who is the CEO of Edenbrock Group. Happy to tell you, he has racing in his eyes. He was 1994 Formula Renault Euro Cup champion. The Williams team has 114 race victories and claimed Constructors' Championship 9 times, more than any other team apart from Ferrari. And here are the championship-winning names, very impressive list of drivers, Alan Jones, Keke Rosberg. I think these first two were tailor-made for Frank and Patrick. They also include Nelson Piquet, Nigel Mansell, Alain Prost, Damon Hill, and Jacques Villeneuve. All were won world championship in Williams cars. The team has only won one race in the past 15 years and slipped to last place in the championship in 2018 and 19. It announced the takeover by Darlington 2 weeks ago. In the final analysis, on a positive note, at least Frank and Claire are leaving the building on the Clint Eastwood program with a fistful of dollars. A big name has gone from the world of motor racing. Great achievement, great contribution. Any thoughts on Frank Williams has left the building, Mr. Rogers?
Well, obviously, at the end of an era, these family businesses often get picked up by investors who see a good thing and know a good thing when they look at it. And on paper, Williams looks fantastic. So I'm happy for Williams. I think they sold at a good time. That way Frank can retire and relax, and Claire could do whatever she wants. They have the money to do it now. Bills get paid. And not only that, but now an influx of money will bring in talent, and talent will bring championships and wins. So they will come back. They probably had the hardest luck on the grid in the past 15 years, but they will be back. And I think all of this is actually very good news for Formula One.
Yeah, you know, and being an American-owned company, just like Haas, but Haas has no interest. I hope they give a young, talented American kid an opportunity to get to Formula One, survive and succeed. And right now, I think the only guy who can do the job, or at least is showing potential, who is in single-seaters in Europe is Logan Sargeant. But that's looking 2-3 years ahead. But it's very important, you know, not to bring these people into Formula One like Red Bull. Then you're just next, till you run into a Daniel Ricciardo or a Max Verstappen, which, you know, does not happen every 2-3 months. And now we come to famous last words. This is what Luca Montezemolo said on what Enzo Ferrari used to say him about hiring drivers, and I quote, "Enzo always told me that if the best driver is in Guatemala, get him. The same goes for the engineers." End of quote. I think what had happened at Ferrari with Sergio Marchionne, and especially after the end of the Schumacher era, where they had so many people who were from, you know, England, South Africa, whatever, I think there was a need or a desire to make the team more Italian, and I think they are paying the price right now, because this day and age, you get the very best. You know, this guy, the engine guru from Mercedes, Andy Cowell, is leaving, and it has not been announced where he's going. If Ferrari does not grab him, that'll be a surprise. But I won't be surprised if he ends up at Aston Martin, as Racing Point will be known next year. And still we don't have confirmation if Sebastian Vettel is going there or not. But I just think that Mr. Lawrence Stroll has a record of taking small brands and turning them into big names, big success, as he has done in the fashion industry. And as he has done with this Bambino, the way Lance is going these days, you cannot say that he's not a quick driver. You know what I'm saying? So hopefully Aston Martin, British Racing Green, will look very good and will be very competitive. And I'll be very happy if they bring in Sebastian Vettel.
Yes, I agree. I think if Sebastian Vettel decides to go there, it'll be great. But I still am very skeptical about that, because that's just the way I think. Vettel, you know, he's married, he has children. I don't think he's the hungry young whippersnapper that he was. You know, it depends on who his teammate's going to be. But just like Fernando, I'm happy Fernando is going to be back in the paddock next year. But I don't think this is a great decision by him, by any stretch of the imagination. I prefer the young podium that we had at Monza. And when the old man tries to come back home, you can never go back home. So that's my tip. I think Vettel is done. Raikkonen is done. And there's just too much talent coming in. It's going to keep rolling in. So we'll see what happens. And obviously, I think Gasly has talent. And we'll see what happens. But I still don't think Vettel is going to Aston Martin. But I'm mostly wrong anyway. So that could be good for Vettel.
Yeah, you know, it's. I am pretty certain that if Mick Schumacher wins the championship, which he now has a very good chance of winning, because there are like 4 or 6 races remaining, if he wins the championship, then he will be in Formula One for sure. most likely at Alfa Romeo at the expense of either Giovinazzi or Kimi Raikkonen. But Ferrari has quite a few young drivers that they can bring. You know, Giovinazzi, unfortunately, he's not even rattling the old man's cage, which is Kimi Raikkonen. I think Ferrari should bring in both Robert Schwartzman, the Russian kid, and who has won a few races in Formula 2 in his rookie season, and Mick Schumacher. That will be good. And, and if Red Bull brings in Yuki Tsunoda, the kid is quick, and he's not very consistent, but he is very quick. There's no question about it. I think we're going to have an interesting season. And again, I have to agree with you. I don't know what Alonso is going to achieve. I mean, if he was going to Mercedes, I can understand. But I will say this on the, you're talking about anger management issues of the Verstappens. He needs to get to Mercedes if he wants to become world champion, I think.
I agree. It's going to take a while for Honda to become world champion. And that we know. I mean, the engine is quick. It just needs another half a second. But getting that half a second, it can be done, but then you lose reliability. So it depends on how we're going to go. But I think Max, you know, and his father is watching this too. You know how his father is. He's very determined. He can get pissed off very easily. And I know for a fact that Verstappen's dad speaks with Toto Wolff all the time.
Yeah, and because, you know, if you take out, if Max was not driving for, the reason the Honda is close to Mercedes is because of Max. Because if they put Kvyat and Albon, I mean, they will be over half a second, 1 second slower than Mercedes. He's on the Nando program. He has brought 6 tenth. That has taken them close to Mercedes. So I don't think that package is really that strong. I think he's making the most difference. So this kid, if he wants to get into a world championship mode, I was very surprised. And frankly speaking, as a fan of the immense talent this guy brings to the racing world, I was very disappointed he signed a long-term contract with Red Bull. But you know, these contracts have escape clauses. What they are, I don't know. But I would like to see him, because Lewis is not going to go on forever, but I would definitely want to see him in the best package, which right now is Mercedes. And then say, you know, wouldn't it be awesome if him and Lewis go for each other's throat all season long?
Yeah, I mean, that's what we want. And, you know, and throw in the third spoiler, like a Ricciardo or something in McLaren. There's opportunity everywhere, but I agree with you. I think Max has made the Honda package look much better than it really is, even though I think AlphaTauri could be managing it a little bit better than Red Bull occasionally, and especially when you find the sweet spot in the car. But I think I'm hoping for Red Bull that they don't have another DNF for Max this season, because if Max gets another DNF, there will be sparks flying, I guarantee it.
Yes, so far he has been very controlled about his comments on the Honda engine. But sooner or later, he's going to explode. There's no question about it.
There's no question about it. So on that note, we go to Mugello. There's no predictions, but it'll be Mercedes again. And hopefully Max and Red Bull can put it together on that weekend. And I'm also hoping for McLaren and Renault to have a good showing. And Gasly is going to be so pumped up. He's still going to have that starry-eyed look in his face when he gets to Mugello. And what's nice is everybody is staying in Italy for the next two more races. So I'm very happy about this. Italia is wonderful. So that's my tip of the week. I want everybody to enjoy the Gasly win, the victory. I'll see you at the hot dog stand. I want to thank everybody who listens. Good night.
Thank you. Bye-bye.